Hardest egg to order. Over easy.
Why is there... What?
What are you saying?
What's happening?
That's a little Billy Crystal bit. He does impressions, and he would do like Larry Holmes and Muhammad Ali. And did a bit about... over easy egg is the hardest egg to order, Howard. They're all talking to Howard Cosell.
Got it.
That's why I order an omelet. It's super silly, but it's hilarious.
Good times.
It was hilarious.
We are up and running, just so you know. We're
sweet.
Ready to roll.
Man, there's so much stuff going on.
There is.
So much stuff going on.
True story.
So, first of all.
Yes.
Game of Thrones started.
That's true.
Did you watch?
Of course.
You're all in. Now, what about Samantha? Is she in?
She does not watch.
Okay. Andrea has not been in, but she kind of got like roped in to watching because
the
we had
new one.
Yep.
Nice.
So she watched like a dozen like wrap ups of the different
right.
seasons over and like for hours,
right.
over and over, and
tried to catch up that way.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Without watching really any of them. But because next door, Rob and Selena were having a Game of Thrones party.
Big party.
And the dude made, like, period food. Like
lamb shanks and stuff?
It was some pork.
Nice.
But out of a recipe that's, like, from the 15th century.
Cool.
And it was sweet.
So it was like, put pig on fire. The end. That's basically what
you
ate.
Pretty good. Well, you know, there's a show on BBC or the Food Channel or something that the two hosts, one's a girl and one's a guy, and the girl is on the Great American Baking Show or the Great British Baking Show.
Sure.
And they do a whole episode where they have a meal from a particular time and place.
Nice.
And so they go back, you know, to turn of the century or from years ago,
just
a thousand
any random time
yeah,
frame,
and they reproduce the meal and the dining experience.
Got it.
It's really
no
really
no forks, no napkins.
It's super interesting.
Yeah,
it's super interesting, and just curiously, I'd love to try it.
Yeah,
to eat that food. So
you have like big viewing party, cool food, cool drinks.
Yes, and so Andrea got roped into to watching, and I think it makes me mad because you know I love my baby, but.
Yep.
But you know how it is sometimes in friendships and relationships, mainly relationships, where if you suggest something,
right.
you're doomed. Like, it'll never, you'd really like this. I'm never going to watch that.
Yeah, no.
And so that's been Game of Thrones for the last 7-8 years.
So you're like, you would really enjoy it.
You would love this
great,
is right up
great.
Your alley.
Right.
You would love it.
And then she watches
too,
one episode.
It's too violent. Yeah. It's too rapey.
I'm like, that's all legitimate.
That
it's,
is legit.
It's all
it
legit.
It is quite
but,
rapey.
But so is history. You know, history and like, because, you know, I'm pretty sure it's all an analogy of, you know, of Europe and different countries
sure.
battling for controlling Europe or controlling the world, I guess, at the time.
Yeah.
And those aren't, you know, the story of Genghis Khan isn't like a pleasant story. You know, it's very rapey.
It's a fun, violent, rapey story. maybe not fun. Just violent
not,
and rapey.
Fun for him. I'm hoping. I'm hoping he didn't, like, hate it the whole time, but he still just did it. But
that's awesome.
You've heard that, like, an incredible amount of people are, like, related to Genghis Khan.
I did not know that. Because of all the rapey?
Like, yes. Like, an enormous... And they slaughtered all these other people.
Right.
So slaughtered all these other people... raped and impregnated all these. So there's an incredible amount of people who are related to Genghis Khan.
Huh.
I don't know if Shaka Khan is part of that or not. But
stupid.
I would think so. I mean, come on. They're Khans. They're all Khans. I don't know if the Wrath of Khan, maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe.
Absolutely.
Maybe from Genghis.
That's probably his distant relative.
So stupid. But it's good. But, dude, Game of Thrones.
Yeah, that was good. It was a good premiere.
Should we spoil a little bit?
No.
Nothing.
At the beginning.
Not the beginning.
Right at the beginning.
Right. Other than
spoil,
I hope you watched
we'll
it.
About it later.
And
yeah,
watch
yeah.
it. And we're going to definitely do an end of the season wrap up.
Oh,
we're probably going to talk about it a little
sure.
bit every week.
Yeah, here and there throughout the recordings. Faux show.
I can't wait for tomorrow, which would be yesterday.
For
when,
you guys,
when we
yeah.
were. Was that right? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yesterday, it was the second episode aired.
But yeah, man, the beginning of that first one. Woof. That was good stuff.
That was great.
That was
I'm not going to talk about it, but it was great.
It was good.
And then what else? Comic-Con.
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 That's what we're talking about.
I was so bummed that Friday didn't work out.
Yeah.
So work called.
Stupid work.
Stupid work.
I was like, oh, I'm awake in everything. I'm awake early on my day off / birthday just to get ready to go down to Comic-Con. And then I'm like, hey, are you almost ready? And you're like, I'm going to work. And I was like, oh. I could have slept.
Yeah, dude, that sucked. That sucked. Because I was taking Dave down to Comic-Con.
Yep.
And then I was like, all right, Jared and I are going to go and record some stuff. And he's off. And at first, I didn't know you were going to be off.
Right.
And so it was like really like nice surprise. I was like, sweet. Because you got to do it last year.
It was fun.
Yeah, and I was jealous. I was like, that is so badass. Yeah. I want to be there.
Last year
I want to do
fun.
That. And so I was like, sweet, we're going to do it together this year. It's going to be even better.
Yep.
I'm going to hand out 1,000 business cards, yeah. All the ones I made, and we'll just make up some more.
Yep.
You know, and get some good content. And then
you got called into work.
Yeah.
But
you know what?
Making money is better
than
not.
But it worked out better this way.
That's right.
It did work out. Everything works out. That's just the way it goes.
It's how it
everything
goes.
Everything works out. So,
yeah, for
so
sure.
It's all good.
So let's get things rolling here. Be sure to check out lifesabinge.com for all your Life's a Binging needs. Hit us up on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. You know, I gave Jessica the logins to the Twitter and Instagram and everything, and so she's going to be starting to actually...
So she's going to become a tweet master.
Yeah, we're gonna start tweeting and stuff.
Do you tweet, Dave?
So follow.
I do.
Do you, like, tweet actively? Like, are you...
Yeah, but I tweet, like, the way I have relationships. They're like, it's very one-sided. You know what I'm saying? I'm not committed to anybody else on Twitter. I just take care of my own needs.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't interact. I don't look at my... I don't look at the feed. I don't look at what's trending. I don't want to know. I just do my thing.
Do you try
I don't
to secretly tweet with someone else while you're taking care of your own needs?
Basically,
like,
the
they
answer
don't know?
To do you yes. tweet is a big fat no.
Yeah. No, he tweets, right?
Tweets.
You tweet.
I do tweet.
He sends out tweets.
I'm tweeting right now, actually.
Yeah, he sends that. He puts tweets into the,
well,
the Twitter world.
That's better than me. I need to tweet more, and I've been saying that for 2 years.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I don't know if you need to tweet more. I sometimes I think it's... it's overrated, and it's, but I just do it. You know, like, I take pictures. That's what I'm doing right now is I'm tweeting some pictures, and yeah.
It's awesome. Follow us on Twitter.
Yeah, follow us on Twitter.
At Life's a Binge.
Yep.
And we have the voicemail that you can call us, 619-438-0532. We have a couple of those, so maybe we'll end up playing one of those later on.
Oh, I want to hear them.
Yeah, I'll let you hear
it's
them
not
before
just
we
me.
Air them. No,
it's not
no,
me,
it's
me
not.
Testing.
We got a,
okay,
we got a couple. There's a good one. I'm. You know what? I'm gonna hold on.
This well, is, no, let's start and then we'll get. Right
oh,
on
I want to do it right now though. It's
yeah,
so
it's
funny.
It's your world, man.
It's so funny. Because it's not worthy of making the actual episode.
Okay,
but it's kind of funny.
All right.
So I'm gonna put it up to the mic here because I don't have a plug for it. But this is a voicemail that we have received on our Life's a Binge phone. Here we go.
Black lives always matter. Black lives still matter. Black lives will always matter.
And that was it.
That was.
Do we know who that was from?
No, it came from a 717 area code, which is somewhere in Pennsylvania.
Really? That is awesome.
And they just wanted to let us know that black lives always mattered, black lives still matter, and black lives will always matter.
That's awesome.
So thanks.
Sweet. For somebody from Pennsylvania.
For that Life's a Binge voicemail.
That is bomb ass. I love it.
So random.
Yeah. Hey, I don't. I'm telling you, I love it.
It's so weird.
So what was the other one?
You're beaming right now.
I'm super happy. Yeah, I'm super happy. That
crazy.
Makes me happy.
Yeah. Yep. So be sure and give us a ring on our voicemail. Once again, that phone number is 619-438-0532. And send us your thoughts and on whatever. And
yeah.
You can always email us at lifesabinge@gmail.com and all that fun stuff. But yeah, let's do this thing.
All right, here we go. Ready?
Life's a binge!
Right?
Oh, yeah. All right.
I like it.
My my lung capacity wasn't that great.
It was okay.
Here I go. Big inhale.
No, it's
there
a good
it
one. I dug it. I dug it a lot. Yeah, what's up? Comic-Con's what we're all about this week, man.
Comic-Con's, we got Mr. Comic-Con. Like,
that is a very true story.
Mr. Comic-Con?
Well, that's pretty good, you know. Do you remember that my brother was Mr. Mount Hood? Do you remember? I don't know if we were going there. We weren't going there yet.
I wasn't going there yet, no.
Yeah, so. We were still a couple years away. But, yeah, the college that we Dave and I met at, my brother went to as well.
Nice.
And was in the Mr. Mount Hood pageant. And
did he win?
He won.
Nice.
And he was, yeah, it's something that he's holds very dear.
Absolutely.
It's cool. I would, too, if I won. I didn't. I decided not to enter.
Well, you didn't want to surpass Tony on another thing.
No, I didn't want to. Yeah. Can he just have his thing?
They got rid of the pageant, didn't they? That's why he couldn't do it.
I think they
ended it like 2 years after Tony. They were like, let's just, you know, let him have that glory forever.
No one will ever be as good as Tony, so we should just cancel this thing.
That's how I am the reigning Clank master in the Clank game that we played during our fantasy football thing. I am the Clank champion.
Just because you stopped playing it?
Well, we ended up not getting together for a couple years at least. And
that's the game where you throw the frisbees and try and hit it on the chair
so
or whatever?
Fun. Yeah, yes. Yeah, yeah. Yes. You throw the frisbee and it's a two-person game, two teams of two. You throw the frisbee and then the other person, like,
It's one of those things.
I'm telling you, Dave.
I don't doubt that it's fun.
It's,
you just have to do it.
It's you
like,
do.
But
you
describing
do.
It to somebody else, it sounds like, yeah.
It sounds stupid.
We're having a poop contest. Who can have the stinkiest poop? No, it's really fun. Trust me. Fun. Yeah.
Like, that sounds, you know what? It's a blast. but speaking of Dave.
Well, we haven't really said it.
Let's introduce him.
You said Mr. Comic-Con.
I did.
Mr. Comic-Con.
Who is Mr. Comic-Con?
This is our second time having Dave on.
That's right.
Is that right? Or did you do a phone-in for something else?
No, I did the show.
The Comic-Con one.
Like, what, 2 years ago? 2, 3 years ago. And because I remember that I was ridiculously tired, and it was like, I was like, hey, whatever BJ wants, I'll do it. And I'm sitting there, I was feeling like I had narcolepsy. I don't remember why I was so tired at that particular time.
Comic-Con's tiring, man.
Yeah. But I'm back.
Woo. Right on.
Mr. Comic-Con. I don't know if it's... I don't know if I'd go that far.
Well, my experience with Dave, by the way, this is David Walker.
Thank you for finally saying his name. That's what I was trying to get you to do for the last 5 minutes.
No, it's funny because I was like, let's see how long we can go without him saying it.
Right.
We've gone like well into the episode. And then we're we never did introduce you.
We're supposed to introduce you.
Yeah. But this is David Walker. Now, we had him on 2 years ago, and he was already kind of a big deal at Comic-Con back then. Like, now I say already because this is like your 18th.
This is my 18th. Comic-Con, yes.
18th con.
I know, it's crazy. Absolutely bonkers.
That's nuts. And I think maybe 2 years ago, you were just starting to, like, write for Marvel.
Correct? Yeah, things were just starting to really take off for me. And, now I'm a has-been. I was a rising star 2 years ago. Last year I was too important for you guys. Right. And now I'm a has been. And so I'm so here.
Luckily, that's how we got him exactly. Back this time. Yeah. I was like, no, I'm sorry. I can't do your lame show.
Welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Welcome back to the
We're glad
gutter.
You're failing now and you can come on our show.
It's it's funny because I actually had somewhere I was supposed to be tonight, and I was like, I'm not doing this. And the people I was supposed to be with were like, you have to be at this meeting. I was like, first of all, it's at a bar, so it's not really a meeting. Second of all, I'm doing this podcast interview.
Yeah.
And what podcast? And I was like, something about binging or purging. I don't know. It's just,
are these guys? How are they?
They've stolen him from
us. They're scooping all our best talent. What's going on here?
That's good times.
But Dave right now is wearing a Marvel shirt that says Luke Cage on it.
It says
Power
Luke
Man.
Cage is Power Man.
Luke Cage is Power
is
Man.
Is what it says.
And if you don't know, which you probably don't, but Dave writes Luke Cage.
If
the,
you
for
don't
the comic.
Know,
the comic
now
book.
You know,
the comic
you know.
Book Luke Cage. Now, a lot of people are going to say, so you write for the TV show.
No, everybody says that.
Everybody, yes.
Everybody says that.
Right.
And everybody assumes that I'm rich because there's a TV show.
Right.
And you're mistaken on both fronts. I write the comic book, which is very, very different than writing the TV show. And yeah, it's just funny trying to explain to people. Like the T-shirt says, Luke Cage is Power Man, right? Because that's like superheroes have code names, right? Peter mm-hmm. Parker is Spider-Man, Bruce right. Wayne is Batman. Well, Luke Cage is Power Man. And when he first appeared in the 70s, that was the title of his comic, was Power Man.
Right.
And, but nobody knows that. So it's like, I was, you know, a year ago, I was writing a book called Power Man and Iron Fist, which is, you know, Luke's name. And people were like, who's Power Man? And when the Luke Cage show debuted on Netflix, I was telling people, no, I write his comic. And they were like, no, you're writing something called Power Man and Iron Fist. And I was like, Luke Cage is Power Man. And it's, I don't have either of you guys, there's a movie from the 80s called Midnight Run with, yes, with Charles Grodin and Robert De Niro.
Yeah.
And Yaphet Kotto plays the FBI agent Alonzo Mosley. And De Niro steals his ID. And everywhere he goes, De Niro flashes the ID and he introduces himself as FBI agent Alonzo Mosley. And then Yaphet Kotto eventually shows up at the same place and they're like, well, you're also named Alonzo Mosley? And Yaphet Kotto's line through the whole movie is, I'm Mosley! And that's how I feel like, Luke Cage is Power Man!
I'm Mosley! Yeah. Luke Cage is Power Man!
Yeah, so
Yaphet Kotto.
Because you write a comic book, I'm curious, yes. Because do you just pick a story arc and that's what you do, or are you like the head guy? Is it a team of people? What is writing a comic book in the modern 2000 era consist of?
A lot of it depends on the publisher you're working with. It depends on the property you're working on, all that sort of stuff. But you know, as the writer, you come up with a story. You work with your editors, and you know, sometimes you bounce ideas back and forth. And then you write you outline however many issues worth of story it's going to be. And then you write the scripts, and then you hand in the scripts, and then the artist turns your scripts into pictures. And it's an interesting process because I try to explain it to people all the time, and they just go, okay, so wait a sec, so what you those words that are in the balloons, you write those in there? And it's like, no, that's not it. And I actually,
'cause I could do that.
Yeah. It's like, well, those words that are in the balloons, I wrote those words, but not, I didn't physically write them in the balloons.
So you're an inker.
Yeah, right. So you're a tracer, is
right?
What
you're a tracer, right? You're a tracer.
But it's funny because people just can't quite comprehend it. And I tell this story. I was on a date. It was about a year ago. This woman who just like she kept going, okay, I don't. She's like, I don't get how do you write a comic book? How, you know? And I was it's getting frustrated. And I'm not always the most patient person or the most polite person. And finally I said to her, I said, well, you watch movies, right? And she said, yeah. And I said, okay, so you know when the actors are talking? And she said, yeah. And I said, you know, well, they don't just magically know what to say. Someone wrote that.
I bet that date went south.
Yes.
And now he's married.
And that yellow lady in my life.
The look on her face was, I was like, oh, you just, and it was the first time I'd been on a date in a long time. And it was, and that's actually the last time I've been on a date. I like never heard from her again. It was one of those things where it's like, you know, you tell people you write, and they just, it's like they can't comprehend what that is. And because comics are essentially a visual medium, mm-hmm. they really have trouble figuring it out. And so I tell them everything that's on the page. Well, not everything. Sometimes you leave a lot up to the artist. Sometimes you give them very specific directions. But whatever's on the page, for the most part, starts out with you describing it in some capacity. Then the artist translates it, and then there's the dialogue or the narration that goes in there. And it's an interesting thing because as a writer, when you work in comics, you write a script, but of the words that you write, the actual words that you type in the computer, write down a piece of paper, only about 25% of those words actually show up on the page.
Right. There's just no room for it. Yeah.
So, but you know, you write, you know, page one, panel one, Batman is punching the Joker and the Joker's teeth are flying across the, you know, the panel. And it's like somebody draws that and the reader doesn't see what you've described.
Right.
And they just assume, oh, wow, this artist is so amazing. Right. And it's funny. I remember reading one review. There's one comic that I wrote where there was a page where there was no dialogue at all. It was just nothing but action. And the review said, you know, the artist is so amazing. His storytelling is so on point. It's incredible what he does. And I was just like, yeah, you know, this is what I was thinking. I was reading. I was like, there's nothing on this page that I didn't. Like, I literally wrote every single thing here. Right. I told him what to write. It wasn't like I told him, like, hey, write this or I'll kick your ass. But it was like, you know, this is how it goes. And you have to, if you can't develop a sense of humor about it,
right,
then you're not long for this business.
That's awesome. And so do you have, like, obviously without naming any names or anything, do you have, like, favorite people, artists that you prefer to, like, do other people bring things to life better than other people?
They all do it differently. So, you know, I'm very lucky because I have yet to work with an artist who, A, I don't even like their work. So I like the work of every artist I've ever worked with.
Nice.
But I've also been really lucky in that they're just some really great collaborators. Now, some artists will look at your script and they'll just draw whatever they want, and or they'll add to it or they'll subtract from it because they have a better visual acuity, a better sense of what will work, you know, in terms of storytelling. And you sort of get... After a while, if you work with them for more than two or three issues, you get used to it. You start to know who you're writing for.
Right.
Because it's a collaboration. But a lot of the times, the editor is always the buffer between you and the artist. Or I shouldn't say the buffer, the go-between. But sometimes, with some artists, you never see the art until right before it goes to press.
Right.
So that's also, that's really weird. I like it when...
I imagine that's stressful, I would think. Like
In the beginning, when I first started writing, it was really super stressful. And the reason, one of the reasons I like to see the art early on is because we're usually working 3 to 4 months ahead. So, like, Luke Cage number two just, Luke Cage number three just came out. But I'm currently right now writing the script to Luke Cage number 7. Okay. So I'm about 4 or 5 months ahead of the release schedule. And the reason, one of the things that's good about seeing the art early on in advance is you begin to get a feel for how that artist is interpreting your script. Mm-hmm. And you know, the longer I work with any one particular artist, the more I start leaving a lot up to them. Because most artists will say, oh, I really, you know, like, I love drawing action. And so I'll send them an email. Sometimes I talk to them on the phone and I say, okay, do you want me to block out all the action? So if it's a fight scene between Luke Cage and somebody, I'll say, do you want me to spell it out specifically? Or do you just want me to leave it open to you?
Fight between.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
And what I'll say is, okay, you know, Luke gets in a fight with, you know, such and such character. It starts with this, you know, the bad guy throws a punch at Luke, and it ends with Luke, you know, kicking the guy in the head, and he crashes through a wall. Whatever you want to put in between is fine with me. But for me, it takes at least 1 to 2 issues before I'm comfortable writing that way.
Right.
But that's why it helps to see the art that far in advance.
Now, are there artists that you've worked with where you...
Will never work with them again and want to punch them in the head? No, of course not.
Well, yeah, that'll come out, you know, after you've retired and you made $1 million. Yeah. But no, that when you get their work, you're just like, God dang, that's good. You're like, that's
my vision. That's exactly what I was thinking.
Or even like more so than you know, like, oh man, you brought that out in a way that I didn't really think of. And it's like,
okay, this is
they gonna, bring a lot to the table.
This is going to sound like an exaggeration. It really is. It's every single time.
Really? That's cool.
Every single time.
That's awesome.
Now what's the difference is like, okay, so there's, I was just working with an artist named Gabriel Walta on this Avengers title that I'd been writing. I'm no longer writing it. And in fact, I met him for the first time last year at San Diego. And we had a really interesting conversation. We knew we were getting ready to do this book together. And Gabe, I'll write a page, and there might be five panels on the page. And then I see the art, and what he draws, he'll draw seven panels or eight panels on the page. So he adds stuff to it. And that's not an uncommon thing for artists to do, is to add panels. But there's something about the way he adds panels, more than any other artist I've ever seen, where I can look at it and immediately figure out, I know exactly why he did it. I know how to adjust my script accordingly. Some people add panels and you're like, what are they doing here? And it looks great, but you know, sometimes you have to struggle to rewrite the script to make it work with the art. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's part of the business. But of all the artists I've ever worked with, he's the one who just like, there really is something magical about it.
Nice.
We just wrapped up our final issue. I would kill to work with him again. Well, maybe not kill, but I would definitely like severely injure another human being to work with him again.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's so cool. So segue away from comic books. Do you like the Netflix Luke Cage?
Yes, I do. Whoops, I just knocked something over.
So,
sorry about that. Yes, no, I really enjoyed that show. Last year, when the show debuted last year on Netflix, I was still writing Power Man and Iron Fist, and the artist that I worked with on the vast majority of that run was Sanford Green, and him and I went to New York for the premiere. They did a premiere at a movie theater. They showed us the first two episodes, and we were just like ecstatic. We were like giddy little kids.
Nice.
And my schedule was so hectic that I saw the first two episodes, you know, like 3-4 days before it debuted. And then I was on the road for like 2 weeks after that, and the whole world saw it except for me.
Right.
And it took me about 3 weeks after it debuted to finally sit down and watch it. I'm pretty good about not binge watching.
Mm-hmm.
What I try to do is no more than two episodes of something a night. Two episodes is about equal to watching one movie.
Right.
And I feel like, and don't get me wrong, because I have binge watched the hell out of stuff.
You don't have to say that just because our name is Life's a Binge.
No, I've done like, you know.
Sometimes
like,
you can't help it. You're just like,
I've done like an entire season of, you know, Breaking Bad in a day.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
And that's what I did with Luke Cage. So I did every episode of Luke Cage in like a day and a half.
That's awesome.
And, you know.
I wasn't crazy about the, should we spoil a little bit? No.
What?
The end.
Luke Cage?
It's been out for a while. Yeah, it's been out for a while. But the whole battle with the dude.
The Last Dragon standoff? Because it was basically like the finale of Barry Gordy's Last Dragon.
I think I saw a long time ago, but I don't really remember.
Oh, that's a classic. You got to go back and watch
it again.
Yeah.
But so another question, comic book and Netflix. I have not watched Iron Fist yet.
I was just going to get
is
into
that,
Iron Fist because I've heard
good?
It's like crap. I've heard the Netflix show
I think the less I say about that show, the better. That's well, we'll leave it at that.
So have you watched it?
I have.
The whole thing?
Yes.
And, okay, so meh? Well, but okay, because a part of me thinks I should watch it because they're coming out with the Defenders.
Right. You're in theory, you need to watch it just to know what's happening.
That's and I remember the Defenders being a thing, even though I was not into that comic book. I remember like Avengers and the Defenders. Like I remember those like.
And this
titles.
Defenders is very different than the Defenders when we were kids.
Now, who were the Defenders when we were kids?
When we were kids, it was.
It wasn't Luke Cage.
I'm going to get in trouble by the hardcore fans, but it was Doctor Strange, The Incredible Hulk, Submariner, and I'm trying to remember.
See,
who
that
else.
Sounds more like yeah. it. That does sound yeah. more like it. Like it was like more mainstream characters, as I recall, and like because Luke Cage and Iron Fist aren't as mainstream. And I don't remember Jessica Jones.
Yeah, no
was
idea.
She in the comics back in the day?
No, she's a relatively. I mean, when I say relatively new, character's about 17 years old.
So she's a legit comic character.
Yeah, she's
they didn't create her for the TV
no,
show.
No.
So, and that's one of the things about Comic-Con. people were like, well, comics are, it's not really about comics anymore.
Right. Not but, at all.
But it's kind of, it kind of is because
it's like, almost like comics are like Latin, you know, it's all based on Latin. Right. It's all based on comics.
Wow. You know what? That is honest God truth. That is one of the best analogies I've ever heard.
Yeah, I was proud of that as I said it.
Wait, what did you say? No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. I wasn't listening.
I was thinking of what I was about to say.
I was going to say something better. Yeah. Just imagine that I was going to say something better if I just
put
said
it there.
Yeah, I'm stealing that from you. I'm not going to give you credit. I'm going to be comics are like Latin. I mean, our entire language is based on Latin. And
No, but it's true, though, because, like, everyone was anticipating the Marvel panel and all this stuff, and so, like, it's kind of, like, warped its way back into being about comics just because the big things that are getting revealed are for the movies.
Yeah,
and
but they're
everything.
All based on comics.
But they're all based on comics.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, like, made its way back just because, you know, the superhero movie is so popular these days.
Speaking of which, should we hit a couple of these things here?
Well, and so, yeah, I wanted to talk about some of the big things that came out of Comic-Con. As we're recording this, it's only Saturday night, so there's still Sunday.
Yeah, still another
but
day.
But Sunday's kind of the wrap-up day, and nothing really huge typically comes out on Sundays.
Right, so everything should have happened today.
Or yesterday. Stay on the Netflix train. Did you see the Stranger Things 2 trailer that came out?
No.
You did not?
No. I've been working all day.
Yeah. Okay. So you probably haven't seen any of the big things that happened.
No. No. I just
neither
knew,
have I.
I knew that there was
holy cow.
I knew there was a Stranger King thing happening.
Stranger Things
thing.
Season
yep.
2
yep.
trailer is awesome.
Okay. So they released that.
Yep.
And so they released that, and I'm sure they watched it for the first time in front of their
panel
group.
And then they
went on the internet.
Yep.
Okay, cool.
There's a new Thor trailer.
So beyond the one that they did.
A brand new one.
Okay.
Actually a trailer, like a full
That one
trailer.
Seemed like, okay,
I
good.
Know, but,
I'm gonna look. I'm looking forward to that.
You
know what's funny? They call them
whatever,
teasers.
Right.
The definition of a teaser has changed since I was a kid.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm a little, you know, I'm perturbed by that.
It's true, though. Like, yeah. I feel the same way. A teaser trailer should be like, what's that shot they showed in the first one where he throws the hammer and then the girl catches it and bursts it, right?
Yeah,
that would be
hell?
That would be a teaser trailer. Where, and then it just says Thor Ragnarok. And you're like, what? I
See,
am
now,
teased.
If that, turned out, if that turned out to be like a bad dream that Thor had,
right.
I'd be really mad. But what the hell?
Right.
You made it look like some chick. I shouldn't say chick. That's terrible. Sorry. Sorry, Aunt Cindy. I meant some lovely lady.
Some powerful goddess.
Some powerful goddess. Yeah. Cat caught his...
Played by Kate Blanchett, by the way.
She's badass.
Super A-lister.
Yeah.
Yep.
But, yeah.
So that's a teaser trailer, not like a two-minute-long trailer.
Yeah,
or the teaser trailers now are like, they just pick a scene, and they're like, we're going to show you this whole scene. And I'm like, again, that's not a teaser trailer. You're just showing me parts of the movie.
I was trying to think of what movie that I just saw where I was like, oh, I've seen this whole scene already. And I saw it somewhere.
It's everything.
It might have been Wonder Woman. Maybe it was Wonder Woman.
It's Wonder Woman. It was Planet of the Apes. It was Spider-Man.
Yeah.
It was
Planet
Guardians
of the Apes
of Galaxy
hasn't come
2.
Out yet, right?
Yeah, it has.
Yep.
It
out.
Did.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's out. What's the word?
You haven't seen it?
No. Have you seen it?
Oh, yeah. Of course I've seen it.
And?
It was good. I was
it
very
was good?
Entertained.
Like, it was the best one?
I'm writing a Planet of the Apes comic. I had
Are
to
you
see
really?
It. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Dude,
so,
I didn't even know that.
You didn't know that.
I think, dude, there's a lot I don't know.
Okay.
Like, I mean,
you could have
in
told
general,
him 10 minutes ago, and he would have not known.
In general, no. There's a lot I don't know in general, but there's a lot I don't know about you going on.
Okay.
Like, stuff that goes on. Because you don't fly your flag and toot your horn that much.
No,
he does on
not.
Twitter. You just have to follow.
I guess so. I guess I got to tweet more often.
No, I don't
follow
even on Twitter. I kind of.
Hey, I'm writing a new thing.
It's so funny because you know I'm walking around at Comic-Con and just doing my own thing and I think we were talking about this last night. I guess you could say I'm comic book famous. But comic book
famous
is like about five steps below being serial killer famous. You know what I'm saying? Like you can think of the top 10 serial killers in the history of the world, and all of them are more famous than any comic book creator, right?
Man.
So
it's true though.
Stupid Charles Manson.
Yeah. It's true. You can name them. You literally name them.
Charles
how many comic
Manson,
book
John
writers
and their middle
Dahmer.
Names.
Yeah.
Yeah. All
yeah.
of their middle
how
names.
How many comic book writers can you name?
I can't name any.
But it's
not one. Not one.
But I'm
not
just,
one. Oh, I'm sorry. Dave Walker.
Yeah. I'll be somewhere on the floor of Comic-Con just talking to people, and there'll be that, like, I'll hear, hey, do you see who that is over there? That's David Walker. And I'm, yeah, it's, and
dude,
I'm like,
that's dope.
It's weird, man.
It's dope. It's weird. Dude, it's
that is
dope.
Super awesome.
Come on now. Like, there's no, I mean, you could be humble and say it's weird, but dude, that's dope.
It is.
That's
it
just is dope.
Well,
it's awesome.
It's very odd because I'm still me. You know what I'm saying? And I just, I'll have these moments. Like yesterday, I just had a little time to kill. I saw that there was they have those little food court areas at the convention center. So I just sat down and was just sort of sitting there chilling. And I was just talking to some people. And at some point, there are these round tables. There's like five or six people sitting there. And at one point, one of the people realized who I was. And they were like, started to kind of freak out. And I'm just like having a conversation. I'm talking to this guy and his son. They were to my left, another guy to my right, and then the guy next to him, and the guy next to him was like, you know, got this look like all of a sudden it was like, oh, you know, you would have thought I was Larry Hagman, you know, from Dallas. It's JR from Dallas.
You know that is, right? You know that is.
And I'm just, you know, I'm still the same guy, you know, and it's the funny thing is I'm staying with you. I've been taking the Lyft back and forth, and every driver, you know, they strike up the conversation. And they're like, "Hey, you in town for Comic-Con?" And I'm like, "Yeah." And then they're like, "So have you been to any cool panels? You seen anything?" And I'm like, "Well, you know, I'm on panels, but I don't really go to them." And then there's this pause, and they're like,
"What?
What do you mean you're on panels?" And I'm like, "Well, I downplayed for a second. Well, you know, I'm a college professor, which I am, and then I go in and I write a little bit, and they go, "Oh, okay." And there's a pause, and they're like, "Well, what do you write?" And I'm like, "Well, I do a little bit of writing for Marvel," you know, it's like, "Well, what do you write for Marvel?" And then it's funny because when it was Power Man and Iron Fist. First off, the Iron Fist show wasn't even out yet.
Right.
So, like, nobody knew what I wrote.
Any idea.
But now I'm like, well, you know, I write Luke Cage. And they're like, what? And then the next thing is like, so what?
You write for the TV?
Yep, exactly. they're like, and I have to explain to people, I don't write for the TV show. If I wrote for the TV show, I wouldn't be taking Lyft right now. Like my driver would be.
Your,
you know,
Netflix.
Yeah.
I'm sure Netflix has limo services.
The helicopter would be bringing me in, you know. And so it's just kind of funny. And honestly, part of it is that it's the age. You know, I came into this industry. I had a career long before this, and so I'm at a point now where it's like, yeah, I get what it means to be comic book famous, which again is below being not only serial killer famous. I mean, there's like, you know, more people know who Bernie Madoff is, you know, than they know any most comic book creators. So
now, who do you think is the most famous comic book writer there is?
You mean right now,
or even all time?
Well, of all
time, I couldn't tell you. Like
Stan Lee is the most famous comic book writer of all time.
Yeah, okay.
You know, you say Stan Lee.
He wrote a lot of stuff.
Yes, he wrote and he co-created. I mean, he co-created Spider-Man. He co-created the Hulk, mm-hmm. Fantastic Four, a lot of some of the most famous iconic superheroes of all time.
Mm-hmm.
So he's arguably the most famous American comic book writer, and then after that, you know, Will Eisner is but most, you know,
who now I'm guessing that I just heard on the radio that they had the Eisner Awards.
Yes,
coming up. Now, you didn't go to that, or did you go to that?
I did not go. I don't go to any award show if I'm not nominated.
Okay,
that's my rule.
Cool. Because they're boring.
Yeah,
they're boring.
Yeah, they're all like,
why am I here? Yeah.
So, you know,
why do I want to watch you masturbate up there? That's boring.
Yeah.
But yes, so there's the Eisner Awards. They're named after Will Eisner, who... Mm-hmm.
What did he write?
He was a writer and an artist. He created a comic in the 1940s called The Spirit.
Oh yeah,
And
that was DC, wasn't it?
No, it was DC published it at one point, but he.
Because I thought that, like, sorry to derail you. They I've talked before about these two books that I used to have. Okay. Actually, one was mine, one was Tony's.
Okay.
And one was the origin of Marvel Comics.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the other one was the same thing for DC Comics.
Okay.
And I thought that the spirit was in there, I thought.
There's a book, and you might be confusing it, but there is a book called The Comic Book Superheroes, where there was a lot of DC characters.
Maybe.
And
it had a red binder on it.
I can't remember. But
Tony still has it.
Exactly what it looked like.
The spirit's in it, and... And,
but like Batman's in it.
Batman's like, in it. Spirit's in it. I think Superman's in it.
Superman. Yep. Yeah. Yep. Because I remember like, oh, he broke another needle on his skin. And, try another one, Doc.
And well, and the interesting thing is that you know all of these characters go. They're older. Like DC characters are a lot older than Marvel characters.
Yeah.
So they've been around a lot longer. And you know I'm feeling embarrassed right now because I can't remember when the Spirit came along. But what we think of as modern comic books and sort of the language of comics and how they're created, Will Eisner was one of the true pioneers of the industry. He wasn't the first guy to come along to do it, but he was...
Is he still alive?
No, he passed away about 10 years ago. He was in his late 80s at the time.
Okay.
And honestly, he's... One of the reasons I'm in the comics industry right now.
That's cool.
And yeah, it was.
So you hope to get your name on that one of those awards? It would be kind of cool.
I mean, it would that be kind of cool, but it was. But
I don't need it.
Well, no. To be honest with you, I tell people this all the time. It's like the fact that I got to meet Will Eisner and talk to him and spend time with him is far more valuable to me than winning an award.
Yeah.
And you know, an award. You know, yeah. Of course. Hey, it would be great to be nominated, but.
Those are all so subjective anyway and yeah, probably political.
They really are. They
are
really
they political?
Are.
Like,
yeah,
as far
there's,
as like...
there's, you know, I was told today that there's something like only two black people have ever won an Eisner in the history of the awards, and neither of them were writing comics.
Huh.
And so it's kind of interesting. It's like, and there's a couple writers that really deserve to win. You know, no, not me. You know, definitely Chris Priest and the late Dwayne McDuffie definitely deserved to win. And
what did they do?
They were
is that Spawn? No.
No, Christopher Priest has written a ton of stuff over the years. Probably one of his most famous runs. He did a run on Black Panther for Marvel. That lasted something like 7 years, I think, 6-7 years.
Speaking of Black Panther.
Speaking of Black Panther.
Well, what?
You seen the new trailer for
no, there's
that?
A new
so
one.
So there's a Black Panther movie coming out?
You didn't
you
know
don't know
that?
Anything. Wow.
Dude,
that's why you're here.
Dude, you haven't seen the Black Panther trailer?
I haven't seen it.
There's a new one that just came out. The new one isn't on the internet yet. There's a description. You can read it or whatever, but that's boring. But the original one was a teaser.
And it's the guy who played him in the Avengers movie.
The Captain
it's
America the, Civil War, yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Chadwick Boseman.
Black Panther. Yes.
He's played everybody.
He's played Jackie Robinson.
And he played James Brown.
Oh, yeah.
He did play James Brown.
That's right.
Yeah,
so. I didn't see that, but I heard it was good.
Can't
Get
believe
up.
You haven't seen the Get Black up. Panther
he,
trailer.
It's clear he hasn't seen a lot.
Holy
you know, there's
cow.
A Spider-Man movie out now, too.
I saw that Spider-Man
saw,
movie.
You saw it.
I saw the Spider-Man movie.
Then how did you not see the Black Panther trailer? They must have put the Black Panther trailer before it.
I'm pretty sure they did.
Did they? They might have, but I might have showed,
you showed up.
Up
late?
Oh, I showed up late.
Did you see the beginning of the movie?
I saw the beginning when... Okay, so when I got there, it was
clearly,
just like...
When I
oh,
got
yeah,
there,
yeah,
Tony
yeah.
Stark was there, and...
Yeah, no, because when I got into the movie theater, because I was
say,
meeting my nephew...
Sit down!
Tony, I was meeting my brother and my nephew, Richie, and he was just going to look, to like, flashback. So it's like... There's like this, I'm going to tell my story or something. And then he went back. And so I didn't feel like I missed anything, but I did
oh,
miss the very beginning.
The
and I missed all the previews.
It's the,
You were really late then. Because if you went to Spider-Man and you showed up at as the movie was going.
Yeah.
Like, you know how many trailers?
20 minutes worth. That's all. No, I count on it.
There was probably 30 minutes worth
of
trailers.
It might have been. They have kind of changed that.
You were
bit.
Super late. That's all.
I don't think it was 30
shame
minutes,
on you.
So. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Shame on you.
But I saw the whole movie.
So, okay, we'll glance over the Black Panther then, because BJ knows nothing.
Well, I'm excited that they're doing that, even though I never read the comic book.
He's excited, even though he didn't know they were making a movie.
It's the, right.
And, yeah.
I'm excited, though.
It's from what I've understood, it's the second biggest, like, thing that people were taking away from the Marvel panel.
Was, oh, really?
Like, holy cow. It what got, like, standing ovation. Infinity
Thor?
War.
Oh, Infinity War.
Oh, did they
War.
Show a trailer
they
for
showed
Infinity?
A trailer for Infinity War, yeah.
Wow.
So that's on the internet now.
Not on the internet yet.
No, they, well, don't, they wait to yeah. put all that stuff up.
And there's not even, like, somebody's cell phone footage, because, like, if you post it, they're going to, like, come
they will find
after you.
You.
Oh, really?
They will, yeah.
The Marvel police.
They will come no,
the Disney
after
police.
You.
The Disney police
are serious.
You will disappear.
That's true.
Like, you're like,
back in the before,
Disney's in
before
charge.
Disney sucked up Marvel, yeah,
yeah,
you might
Disney's
be able to get away with that.
They will.
Now.
Didn't Cheap Trick sing a song about that?
Disney.
The Disney police.
Disney
no,
police.
Dream police. Sorry.
Yeah. Any light in your head. The Disney police. You're going to end up dead.
But yeah, they say that the trailer was very, very intriguing, and it just shoves everyone in there. So
that's cool.
And everyone's in the Guardians of the Galaxy.
They're
in
there.
That's
yeah.
crazy.
So I did look at the description of the Infinity War trailer, and it says it starts with Thor floating around unconscious in space, and the Guardians of the Galaxy basically come, and then he's like a bug on the windshield of their ship. That's basically how the trailer started.
That's wow. cute. I like that visual
yeah.
so far.
But that was the... Oh, and Michelle Pfeiffer is going to be the original Wasp in Ant-Man. It was a big
wow,
announcement today.
That's a big... That's huge.
Yeah.
And so a new Ant-Man movie, or... Is
there will
part
be a new
something?
Ant-Man movie.
Ant-Man and the
and
Wasp.
And the Wasp.
What'd you think of Ant-Man?
I was... thoroughly entertained by that movie.
That was yes. a very entertaining was, movie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Love
I had no
movie.
Expectations for that movie. Zero. And I loved
how,
it.
But that's because Ant-Man was right after or right before Guardians of the Galaxy. The
both of
one.
Those were both.
Yeah,
like,
they both came
money.
Out, and everyone's like, who? Why yeah. would I care about either of these?
Yeah. Yep.
And then they were like huge, huge successes. But that was all the basically the biggest stuff that came out of the Marvel panel. I didn't really see anything huge come from. Oh, Justice League. They,
did they
released
have a
their trailer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I
want to like,
see that too.
I was going to like DC side, but like.
So you saw. Sorry. You saw Wonder Woman?
I did see Wonder Woman, yes.
What'd you think?
I was entertained by it. I mean, I think that I could see where the film critic in me comes out, and I could say where I could see room for improvement. But
me too.
I was thoroughly entertained. And the thing that was even more entertaining was being in an audience and just watching like young girls respond to that. That was
that
made the movie.
You know, that was a joy. Like that, not only that, it was a joy to like read
oh, yeah.
girls talk about it.
Yes.
And I was like, that's awesome. Read women talk about it.
Yeah.
I'm breaking myself of the girl habit of saying girls or referring to females as girls.
I do it all the time.
Wonder Girl
too,
was a
terrible.
Great film, I
Wonder,
thought.
Wonder Girl?
Wonder Girl. Yeah. Was a
Wonder
great
Chick. Wonder Chick was really good.
Oh, if my aunt's listening, I don't think she is.
It was a joke.
Like, DJ!
It was
well,
a joke.
You know, it's interesting, because I teach part-time, and I refer to everybody as guys.
Mm-hmm.
And,
guys.
And so I always, first day of class, when I'm, you know, make the introductions, we're going through the syllabus, and I tell them, look, a couple things you need to know about me. One is that I swear a lot, and two is I refer to everybody as guys. And if you're really hung up on gender-specific pronouns or non-gender-specific pronouns, you're kind of screwed, and you might want to transfer out of this class right now, because
right.
I am pushing 50, and there's just some things I'm trying,
right?
But it's not meant to offend you. But if you get offended by that, then you're gonna have a problem
this
in this
is
class.
Not the right class. Right?
And it's funny because I have some friends. They're three women. They do their own self-published comic. It's called Hex 11. Great talented team. And I'm always like, hey, how you guys doing? And then I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry I called you guys. And they're like, oh, shut up. Just stop, you know? And it's like, it's nice to be around. And they're like super smart and they're, you know, they're on point feminists, but they're not like, they don't freak out when I'm there. They just look at me and they're like, oh yeah, he's old. He doesn't know any better. It's like when you meet somebody's grandparents and they like, oh, that Obama, he's a nice colored young man, right? You know? And yeah. You're like, and you're just like, did your grandmother call Obama a colored man? Or better yet, they go, he's a good colored boy. You know?
Oh, and you're like, wait a second. Yeah. Yep. Let's see. Oh, they did announce Captain Marvel is going to be a period piece set in the 90s. So I'm curious how that's going to connect with everything.
See, now we talked about that before. Not we.
Okay, because I was going to say, I don't remember being here for that. Unless that was Jared the last time I was on the show.
You know? We talked about a lot. But Captain Marvel, first of all, when I think Captain Marvel, I think Shazam. Now, so Captain Marvel is both a DC and a Marvel name.
Yes.
Which is confusing.
Very confusing.
And it's confusing that, well, okay, Marvel must have come around after they had Captain Marvel.
Yes.
Because there's no way Marvel would make a comic character and call him DC something.
Right.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
And no way that DC would make a car called Marvel anything. Right. So,
well, so it's, I mean, it, I.
So these are two different characters.
Yep.
And yes. One of them is a woman?
Now, yes, Captain Marvel.
Woman. See how I said the Marvel woman universe and not a girl. Is a chick.
Yes, but before Captain Marvel was a chick, Captain Marvel was a dude.
The same dude, the same character. Or is it like a spirit that
it was like it taking over the mantle?
Right, yes.
It's like a Green Lantern thing.
Okay,
yeah. But the DC character of Captain Marvel, aka Shazam,
Billy Batson. That's right.
What originally wasn't a DC comic. I can't remember what publisher it was, and then DC bought that character.
Oh.
And so the because of the TV show that we know as a kid.
Do you remember that at all?
What?
The Captain Marvel TV show?
Shazam.
Nope.
It was Shazam, yeah, Saturday morning.
Nope.
Shazam is what it's called.
From the 1970s, yeah.
And they ran around in an RV.
Yes.
And then he would say Shazam, and he would become Captain Marvel, and then he would confer with the gods.
Yes.
They weren't like Odin.
No, they were, it was Solomon, Hercules, Atlas, Zeus.
And so it was
Apollo
animation.
And Mercury, yeah.
Oh, like
bad
old,
animation.
Really bad, like where all they moved was the mouth.
Oh,
like everything stood still.
Yeah.
But the rest of the show was live action.
Yeah, the rest of it was live action.
There's
with Electro Woman and Dinah Girl. Does that ring a bell?
Oh, man, no.
No?
Nope.
Oh, you're... Wow.
How old are you?
I am 34 as of yesterday.
Happy belated birthday, but that explains
you.
Everything.
Oh, yeah. I was like, I wasn't watching 70s TV shows.
Well, the funny thing...
they were long gone.
Yeah, I was not born.
There's a funny side note about Shazam, the live-action Shazam show, which was that... and I can't remember the name of the actor who played Shazam, but he got into a dispute with the producers over money, as happens. And the producers were like, you know, we could just recast you with anybody. And so they did. They fired the first actor playing Shazam with another actor. And the other actor was, and I'm not trying to be rude, but he was a fat slob.
The same character who played Billy Batson became Shazam and in a suit? Or was it like two different actors, like the Hulk?
Yeah, it was two different actors. So there was
like Bill Bixby and then Lou Ferrigno.
Yeah, so there was the actor who played Billy Batson, whose name eludes me.
Right.
And then there was the actor who played Captain Marvel, a.k.a. Shazam. And the first season or two of the show, the guy looked pretty good. And then the third season or the last season, like the dude like has a pot belly. And it was one of those things where like... And, you know, as a kid, because I remember watching, it was like, what the hell am I looking at? What happened here?
Shazam's fat.
Yeah, that was it. And it was like as a fat kid, it was kind of like, well, it's cool that Shazam's fat, but not really because he shouldn't be this fat. So I should look this up. I should look up who the actors were. But, yeah, it was those were the differences between Captain Marvel.
Right.
And so then in the 70s, Marvel introduced a character named Captain Marvel. It's been a sort of a dispute over the years between the two of them, the two publishers, and with DC, they just sort of started calling Captain Marvel Shazam and just sort of left it at that.
And that's probably why they call him Shazam.
Well, yeah. Because, like you said, confusing.
Yeah.
But that movie is going to take place in the 90s, so that's where it's like...
And that's a DC character. No, that's Marvel. Captain Marvel.
Is Marvel chick. she's a woman. And it's taking place in the 90s, so that's kind of weird, because I don't know...
Oh, it's separate from the universe.
Right, well, it's...
Or at least like the current universe.
Right.
Well, if it's set in the 90s...
Because it takes place before any of the other movies we've seen so far, as far as the timeline goes.
Interesting. So, I don't even know what to think of that.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know how it's going to fit into anything.
Well, unless
she's not going to be a featured part of anything, and they're just making a movie.
Well, that or they're... Because...
Or maybe the Infinity Strange War, will show up. Or...
The Infinity War is ending the third phase.
Yeah.
So maybe Captain Marvel is launching a new phase. I don't know. I mean, interesting. Or it may be one of those things like it's a period piece and then somehow she gets transported through time. You know, I'll go see it.
Or Doctor Strange is going to show up and he'll be in it as well. Because you know how there's always
other people.
I still
haven't seen that yet, but it's on Netflix, so I'm going to watch it.
Yep.
Have you seen that one?
I have seen that one. So.
And I was telling Jared that was Doctor Strange was in my Origin of Marvel comics.
Okay.
At the end of the book, he never read it.
What is wrong with you?
It just never called my, you know.
This guy's a doctor.
Yeah, and he does, it just didn't. He wasn't like Vision had like shot stuff out of his eyes.
He only controls all of time and space, but you know, no big deal. No superpowers there. He doesn't shoot laser beams out of his
eyes. Exactly. And as a kid, that doesn't sound. I want to control time and space.
It's true.
I want to be the all being.
So can I just have to interject this? The original actor playing Shazam on the TV show was Jackson Bostwick, and he looked pretty cool. And then this is no offense to the other guy. He was replaced by a guy named John Davey. And John Davey...
John looks, Fat Boy Davey.
Yeah, that's it. He's like... let me see if this is so rude. But it's. I mean, every kid knew this. It was... okay, so like... I will show you... This is the first actor to play him. That's Jackson Bostwick, right?
Okay.
So he looks pretty good, right?
Yep.
Now let me find... Can you see him? Okay. Now let me find. I'm so terrible. Let me see if I can find.
Fat boy.
No, it's all good. Yeah. I'm going to rattle off some of these other top headlines while you're finding the next picture. Okay. Let's see. Justice League trailer is all kinds of epic. Holy shit! The Flash movie will adapt Flashpoint, which I don't know what that means, but that's a thing. Let's see. There's a new Aquaman footage.
Oh, and there's a new Aquaman movie.
Let's see.
Which is so funny. If you watched Entourage,
Ready Player One is getting a lot of hullabaloo. Do you know anything about Ready Player One?
I'm going to guess it's some kind of version of that Adam Sandler movie.
No, I believe it's a Cory Doctorow book, isn't it?
It's a book, and it's now being turned into a movie by Steven Spielberg.
Oh, so it's going to be better than that Adam Sandler movie.
Yeah, and I've wanted to read that. I've wanted to read that book for a long time. My brother said it was very, very entertaining. Oh, I want to see
that's John.
Who is it? Oh, wow.
He looks like he's had a beer or two.
You were accurate in your description.
Yeah, he's, I mean.
That's a valid.
I can't remember how I found out about it, but one day I was, you know, you get older and you're like, whatever happened? Why did this thing happen? And I was reading about it and it was just like, yeah, there was a dispute and the producers were like, nobody cares. What, you know, who plays Shazam, and then they cast this guy, and we all cared as kids. I think there was even a letter writing campaign. So,
yeah. No fun.
Yeah.
Let's see. Iron Fist is getting a new showrunner, and that's probably for the best, is a headline.
What is?
Iron Fist is getting a new showrunner.
I am not going to say anything.
And they say it's
but you write Iron Fist for the comics.
I did write Iron Fist.
You wrote
anymore, yeah.
Comic book. Yeah. Right, wrote it.
Let's see.
That's just cool. That's all.
It says, we saw the second episode of The Tick, and it's now going to be your favorite superhero show of all time.
Really?
I hope so.
That's a bold statement, because I liked...
I like the show.
I like the show.
I like the cartoon.
The cartoon.
And yeah. I like the Matthew...
Warburton.
Yeah, Patrick Warburton. Patrick Warburton. That's funny. Yeah.
Matthew Warburton, Pat... Whatever. We get it, you know, so...
I haven't seen any of... It's on Hulu, and I don't have Hulu, so...
It's on Amazon.
I thought it was Hulu.
No, Amazon. The new show? The new...
Yeah,
the new
it's on Amazon? I thought it was on Hulu.
You have
excellent.
That.
Yeah, so I Amazon can check that Prime. Out. Good times. So I'm intrigued because that's a pretty bold statement. Let's see. What else we got? New Stranger Things trailer. I already mentioned that. There's now trailers for the new Star Trek show, which is coming out on
Michelle Yeoh
CBS
and,
online only or something like that.
Is it?
It's failure. Yeah.
Because I want to watch Colbert and I want to watch James Corden. Like, I love them both.
Right.
And I can't watch them.
Right. Because you don't get the channel and they don't put their stuff on anything.
Nope.
Right.
Unless you want to pay.
Yep.
You got to be good. So I don't know if they're good enough to like be as bold as they are.
Nobody's as good as what people are trying to do. Yeah, they're trying to do this. Oh, we're gonna try to compete with, da-da-da. And it's like, no, I'm not gonna pay for all this stuff.
Right.
Especially when you make your bones as a broadcast essentially free channel. Then we're going to compete with the HBOs.
Well, not only that, but like everyone's cutting the cord to get rid of the things that they don't necessarily need. But then if you're like, well, now you need Amazon and you need Netflix and you need HBO, and then you're going to end up with a $100 bill anyway.
Yeah, you're paying.
And so it's pointless to like, why don't I just keep my cable in that? You know what I mean? So
cable companies are going, yeah, exactly.
Right. But like if they keep making you pay for stuff and they're getting like, I would be all about watching the first few episodes to see if I like the new Star Trek. I would be so down for that. But I'm not going to pay just to get the episodes of the show. Like, it just doesn't make sense to me. So, but there's apparently a trailer, so I'm probably going to watch it. And then right after that, they say the Seth MacFarlane spoof show, The Orville, looks like it's going to be super good. It looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. Have you seen the trailer?
No, but how is it not going to be Ted or Family Guy or whatever else he does?
Because it's literally like a story. Did you see Galaxy Quest?
Yeah.
Think that, but run by Seth MacFarlane.
Well, that's a Family Guy episode. I mean, I don't know.
It's a whole show where it's like he's like Captain Kirk of sorts. Anyway, the trailer looks good.
We'll see. Yeah. We'll see. There are times where I like Seth MacFarlane for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah.
That guy is one crazy, huge, big winner. Oh, here we go. Okay, this is so funny and fits into everything that we've been talking about. So I just typed in big news from Comic-Con, basically is what I Googled. And I clicked on the first thing, which I'm reading all this stuff from Gizmodo. And so that's where my list came from. And it says Saturday's biggest news, trailers, and other stuff from Comic-Con. And it starts at the very top with categories. And the first category is Marvel movies. Then you go down and it says DC movies, other movies, superhero and comic book TV, other TV, and then down here at the very bottom, it says, guess what? Actual comics.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's...
Oh, really?
Yes. At least we made the list at the bottom.
Right? Yeah.
And the top thing on the list is, here are the winners of the 2017 Eisner Awards, so that's the first thing
there. Which isn't news, because I wasn't nominated and I didn't win, so let's skip that.
Batman's newest sidekick is getting the solo series he deserves. I don't know who
Nightwing.
Duke Thomas. What does it say? The series of events
that led to Duke Thomas becoming a masked vigilante. The Black Robin.
Oh yeah?
But they don't call him Robin. They call him something else, like Black Robin or something.
They call him Blobbin. Black Robin.
Yeah, Blobbin.
Blackula and Blobbin.
Black Robin. Oh man. X-Men Grand Design. Well, dirty.
Blackula. It's just funny. It's just
Blackula?
Funny. Blackula is funny.
It is good
like,
stuff.
I remember watching it on TV, Blackula.
I did the audio commentary for the Blu-ray.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the Blackula Blu-ray.
That's awesome.
That's fantastic.
It's funny coming out of my mouth. This is funny.
Blackula. Struck you funny bone.
Blackenstein.
And then the very last thing on the list is best cosplay, and there's a bunch of pictures of cool
sexy girls.
Well, not only that, but like cool Batmans and stuff. So, so that was the big. That's a pretty big list of like. There's a lot of big stuff coming out as far as like the superhero movies and that kind of stuff. But it is. It's weird. I mean, we touched on it last time. We touched on it this time. It's weird that comics are. They keep getting pushed
further and further down the totem pole.
Right.
And it's like, and the, but the funny thing is, so I went to the movies. Last movie I saw at the theater was Planet of the Apes.
Nice.
War for the Planet of the Apes. Every single trailer, every single one was a comic book movie. Yeah. Every single one.
Oh yeah.
And Planet of the Apes. Now it was originally, it wasn't in the 60s, it wasn't a comic book, right?
No, but they did do a comic book series. Right. They've done several actually, but, you know,
and then you're writing one now.
Yes, I'm writing one now.
Sweet.
And, but yeah, there was a trailer. I can't remember all of them. I think there was a Thor. There was Justice League. Mm-hmm. There was Black Panther. There was Valeria or whatever it's called.
Right.
Looks Blackula? Like it,
yeah, there's Blackula. Yeah.
Valerian. It just looks like Avatar in space to me.
Yeah,
like,
it's Luc like. Besson. I think it tanked.
I like Luc Besson.
I think it opened already, and I think it tanked. I think it did.
I mean, yeah. they're promoting it like it's so great.
Well, they don't promote any movie like they're shitty. I mean,
well, sometimes it's like, you know, they
see this crappy shit.
They like, you know, they sometimes don't give a preview. Yeah. You know? And then they spend all this money on promoting it, like at Arby's or wherever, your whatever, to cross promote it. And then you know it's going to suck.
Yeah.
But if they release it early and then they use all the positive reviews in the pre promo, which is what they've been doing, yeah. I kind of always assume, oh, it's going to be pretty good.
Valerian is out and it currently has a 54% rating on Rotten Tomatoes.
Okay, so that's a bad sign.
It's not a good thing.
And here's the thing, right? We're coming off of two really successful Star Wars movies,
yep,
and two really successful Guardians of the Galaxy movies,
yep.
And it's like that's what you're up against,
right?
And it's like
for a space movie, yeah, right, exactly.
And it's like no one was expecting Guardians of the Galaxy to be what it was. Well, I wouldn't say no one. I knew it was going to be good. I James Gunn has enough of a track record that I was like, this is going to be a fun movie.
Yep.
Didn't know it was going to be that fun. Guardians 2 was amazing.
Did he do the second one,
yep,
too?
Yep, he did the second one.
I loved it.
Yep.
And
loved them both.
And I find it interesting because it was like, you know, Valerian is a super popular European comics series, but it was like, okay, you know, this. I was like, this movie's not going to do well. I wasn't trying to jinx it, but it was like, who's it, you know? They're not doing a good job of selling it. I didn't think they were doing a good job of selling it. And then, you know,
like I've only seen a couple of things about it. Like,
yeah.
And you know, I pay attention to this stuff.
Yeah.
I have no idea what it's about. It, like I said, all I can see from the footage that I have seen is it's like very bright and colorful and it looks like an Avatar world in space. Like that's kind of like what it looks
this
like.
This is to attract the teenager stars, you know, like.
This is kind of funny. Most trailers give the entire movie away, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And then there's the kind that don't give that much away, but they still look really intriguing. And then there's the kind where you're like, yeah, I don't know what this movie's about.
Right.
Valerian was one of those ones like, yeah, this is not giving away the entire story. I have no idea what it's about. And there's nothing remotely interesting looking to me. You know, I mean, like, I'm sorry. It just.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
It's.
Yep.
We all need a dog to kick around every so often. So
that's right.
but yeah, you were saying you saw Planet of the Apes and all the freaking trailers are comic book movies.
Yeah.
Like that's. So it's weird that like the Comic-Con itself is taking a backseat to actual comics. But it's crazy that the comic book movie is now the thing to try and beat.
That's yeah. And not just the movie though, the TV show too.
Right.
The you know, there's like, you know,
even stuff like Supergirl, like that. There's a big following for
Supergirl,
that show. Supergirl,
Arrow, Flash.
Yep.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. All the Netflix shows.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be an Inhumans TV series. It's
now
crazy.
Who are the Inhumans?
The Inhumans are another.
Is that like a? It's a. It's
they're
like
Marvel characters.
Is that like a Asgard? It's from Asgard?
No, they're different.
Are they the tall teacher? Are they the ones in Guardians of the Galaxy 2?
No.
You know who I'm talking about?
Isn't it funny watching him try to figure it all out?
You know who I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Who are they then?
Those are the Watchers.
The Watchers, okay. Yeah. You know who I'm talking about?
The gold folks?
In the tall people.
The one that Stan Lee's talking to. I got you.
Okay, those aren't the Inhumans.
No, those aren't
Watchers.
The Inhumans.
Okay.
Those are the Watchers.
Okay. The Gifted, I think, is a show coming out. It's like X-Men based, I think.
Yeah, there's so much stuff. It's just like... It's almost overkill.
Well, that's the thing. That's what I was just going to say. Like, I wonder when it's going to start dying down. But I think Marvel is going to ride it out for a while just because everyone's so invested at this point. You're like, I need to see it to the end. But it's like,
well, here's the thing.
Is Justice League going to really... Cause
Justice League's going to suck.
I didn't see Wonder Woman, which I heard Wonder Woman was good, and I really want to see it. But like, I didn't like any of the other ones.
Justice League's going to suck. Marvel is the interesting thing, because people have speculated about some of this stuff, and they're like, well, basically superhero movies are like the Westerns, and Westerns were... dominated Hollywood for decades,
yeah.
and then they moved to TV, and then they died off in theaters. And the thing is, well, what's happening right now is that superhero movies, there's the movies and the TV shows, and they're existing concurrently. And the thing is that at this point, Marvel's track record, you know, not every movie is as good as the others,
right?
But even the worst Marvel movie has been reasonably entertaining.
Yep.
Whereas, you know, the DC movies and you know, admittedly DC's only four movies into their
correct
shared universe concept.
Correct.
But like of those four, only one of them is worth watching the second time, and that's Wonder Woman, you know.
That's what I've heard.
And so Wonder Woman, as good as Wonder Woman is, I don't think it's necessary in terms of just pure filmmaking, pure storytelling, acting, all that sort of stuff. Wonder Woman is, in my opinion, is up there with the lesser of the Marvel movies.
Right.
Whereas, you know, again, it's like DC has a long way to catch up before they can do Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Right.
Or... Avengers,
the fun ones. You
yeah,
know,
I mean,
like, yeah.
I think Suicide Squad was supposed to be like fun. I think
no, not originally. It wasn't supposed to be. It was supposed to be dark. And then when Batman versus Superman, with all the backlash of that, they tried to lighten up, you know, mm-hmm. Suicide Squad as much as they could. But how light is a movie called Suicide Squad going to be?
Exactly.
I never finished it. I started to watch it and then.
I haven't seen it yet, which is saying a lot.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, I love comic book movies, and I love superhero movies, and I love these characters, and I have no interest.
Yeah.
Like, Justice League, I should be excited to see that.
No, I'm...
like, I should be,
There's five people that I know who would absolutely have to tell me, you absolutely must see this movie for me to go see that movie.
Yeah.
Even if it was free, even right. if I didn't have to pay for it, I can't say for sure I'd see it. Because at the end of the day, Zack Snyder is not a good filmmaker. And
he's done something I like, didn't he?
I like Dawn of the Dead.
You,
it's the only
Watchmen
movie
was
that
good.
I liked.
I like Watchmen.
I didn't like Watchmen.
Because you read the comic book.
Graphic novel.
Sorry, graphic novel. I'm sorry, I mean graphic novel. Let me do a graphic novel.
I like 300. Here. I like 300,
300
too.
300 had okay all right. moments.
Yeah. Yeah,
but
yeah,
it was all right. Pretty good.
But
I enjoyed Watchmen, though. I mean, I thoroughly enjoyed it.
I
had nothing, because I had nothing going in,
yeah,
you know, with it.
Exactly.
No expectations,
so,
yeah.
So
I think that might have been it. It's
that has
to
a lot
me,
to
it was a
that.
Little too literal. It was too literal in the translation. It was like, come on. Do your own thing.
Well, who's the actor who was Kelly Leak in Bad News Bears?
Yeah, he was the best part. That
he
was Jackie Earle-Haley.
He was fantastic.
If the movie had,
movie.
I think the part of the problem with that movie was, okay, we'll geek out for a minute. You look at like the Avengers movies, or even Captain America 3, which was essentially the Avengers 3.
Yeah,
like that had a massive ensemble cast, and you cared about all of the characters. Watchmen had a massive ensemble cast, and for the most part, you didn't care about any of them, and there was no
Eugenio,
focus.
Excuse me.
Yeah,
always care about.
Rorschach, Jackie Earle Haley's character, mm-hmm. was like the only one that was really interesting. And I was like, they, like, clearly Marvel did it right, you know, with these ensemble pieces. But, you know, for me, Batman versus Superman, which was an ensemble piece, I didn't care about Batman. I didn't care about Superman. I only cared about Wonder Woman. And I saw, I've only seen that movie one time. But I, for me, the feeling was I feel like the reason I liked Wonder Woman, cared about Wonder Woman, was just because she was a break from the other two that I just absolutely could not stand.
Yeah. I have to. Ben Affleck was a mistake.
I don't even know if he was a mistake.
He was a mistake because he carries too much baggage with him. Like, as he's. He's not a good actor. Like, he's like, if he does the less he does, the better. As soon as he starts to talk, you can see him gearing himself up to give a powerful soliloquy. And it's like, oh, stop. Don't do it. But if he can just do nothing and just kind of be there, he's fine.
I'm trying to think, has he been good in anything?
In Good Will Hunting, he's good. He plays himself. Yeah. And he plays like this Boston kid. And it's fun. He's right in his wheelhouse. Everything else I see him do, it's like, please stop. Stop. I can't take it anymore, Ben.
Hey.
But I enjoy The Town.
Yeah.
I enjoy The Town. I enjoy, what was that other movie he did?
The director.
Argo. I enjoyed Argo. I enjoy him as a director.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think if I've seen him in anything that I was like, okay, yeah, I don't mind him in it, other than I liked him in Dazed and Confused.
He was great in that. He was great in that.
Yeah, as a younger actor, I think he was better.
I think he started to try to take himself real seriously.
I mean,
and his brother is a great actor, like a really, really good actor, I think.
Yep.
Well, he won the Oscar.
He's not a good human being from what I hear, though.
Oh, really?
It's a true story.
Yes. Is that true? That's too bad.
Yeah. His brother's...
Because I've never heard that about Ben Affleck. I've never heard that he's a jerk.
Not Ben Affleck. No, Casey not Ben. Affleck. Casey.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like, oh, yeah. So is that a trade-off you'd take?
Right.
The talent and be a really good be a jerk? Actor. Well, I've taken the talent, but I'm still a nice guy.
My brother's a... So yes,
you have both. You're proof that you can have both.
You can have both.
Hey, sorry, Jared again. Just want to insert this real quick and say spoiler alert. If you haven't watched the season premiere of Game of Thrones, plug your ears now for the next 7.5 minutes. That's 7 minutes and 30 seconds. And then join us back right after that. Okay? Okay, great. Okay, hold on. Here it goes. Life's a bitch.
Well, hello, everybody. This is Mike Bissett for Life's a Binge with this week's episode of Life's a Biz. Today, we're going to be looking at the very much talked about, the very much anticipated premiere episode of Game of Thrones. It was pretty awesome. Let's dive in and find out what's going on. We open up with Walder Frey inside his house hosting guests at yet another party. But wait a minute. Didn't we just see Arya murder Walder Frey? So how is that? Well, wait a second. That's not Walder Frey. In fact, it is Arya Stark who has returned to poison all of the people that jacked up Big Brother all those seasons ago. Man, was that a satisfying scene. Arya Stark winning the death count so far at over 50, and we're not even 3 minutes in to this premiere episode. Great acting by all actors, whatever their names are, you know who you are. Keep it up. Arya then comes across another group of Lannisters, which you think, well, those guys is dead, right? But no, it's the sweet, monotone, comforting voice of one Ed Sheeran. Now, listen, I didn't like it either, nerds. But here's the thing. You know, the show's not ending. The show is still as great as it ever was. They cast a pop singer in the cast. You didn't seem to mind it when the dude from Coldplay was in there. I admit, it took me out of it a little bit. It kind of took me out of the whole thing. But we're watching a TV show about dragons and Night's Watch and a Winter King. So shut up. It was one minute. You're never going to see him again. The poor bastard had to delete his Twitter. So just stop. Just stop it. Anyway, it was a wasted scene. Didn't need to be there. Not all Lannisters are bad, apparently. But just stop it. So then we move on to Bran and Meera. They are still being dragged around, but they finally make it to the wall. And Bran is like, well, should we even go in? Like, I don't know if I want to be bossed around by my big brother still. I'm kind of digging it on this side of the wall. But as we all know, he'll probably make it back in there. Then we get to Old Town, where, I mean, of all of the classic scenes, you guys remember I Love Lucy and MASH, and some episodes of Seinfeld did this. I think there was that famous episode of Dallas with the poop montage. I mean, this is just yet another long line of episodes where a man is cleaning up other men's poop. And it's not like solid poop either. It's like being cut together with soup and poop. And by the way, at the time, I was drinking a stout. I'll let you do that math. Not a fun scene to watch. But Sam pretty much figures out that there's a mountain of dragon glass. Nobody believes him that winter is coming. They all say, hey, the world will be there. You know, typical old dudes. Just, you know, oh, what has always been will be. We're resisting change. No. Sam says nay. And he decides to steal a book to find out where the dragon glass is. And they're going to kill all them white dudes. Because kill Whitey, right? Am I right? Life's a binge. Kill Whitey, right? Beige? Yeah. Oh, and Jorah Mormont's there too. And he's all like, where's Daenerys? But I'm an old man with, you know, giant scales on my arm now. Well, sorry, dude. We're still looking for a cure for you. Spoiler alert, they'll probably find it. All right, so then we get to Cersei, and she's evil, and she's even pissing off Jaime now. Jaime, who I think has become one of the show's most liked characters, because, I mean, he's handsome, he's got one hand, so he's got hand some. I just wrote that. Not bad. I'm going to write that down. Hang on, I'm going to pause this. Write it down. Okay, I'm right. But Euron Greyjoy is there, and he looks like the guitar player from Slipknot or something. No one got mad about that. He looks like a heavy metal guitar player. Everyone got mad about Ed Sheeran showing up. No one got mad that this Euron Greyjoy, who was in a band with me in high school, shows up. What's with that beard? Come on. Anyway, he's got a bunch of boats. He wants to help Cersei. She's the queen. Why not? It's a good pitch. But Jaime's like, no, not going to have this. This is going to lead to a lot of tension. All right, then where are we? Let's see. Jon and Sansa are in an argument, which I was afraid of. The Starks have been through so much. But Sansa pretty much says, you guys are idiots. Why don't you let one of the vaginas run this place for once? Because all of you dicks have started to do is get us all killed and raped and murdered. So how about you let me take the reins of this one here, Johnny? And so that might be a thing. And then Lyanna Mormont, who's more badass than everyone to put together, she's like, I'm 10 years old and I want to have a boat and give me a sword. Pretty cool. And then, yeah, Jon just can't get along with those redheads. He's got Catelyn Stark, who hated him. Ygritte hated him. Well, loved him for a while and hated him. Melisandre, another redhead, and now Sansa Stark. Maybe it's the soulless gingers that can't get along with Jon Snow. I don't know. Apparently fire and ice. And then, let's see. There's a scene with Sandor Clegane where apparently he made fun of some man buns. Pretty good news. And then my favorite, second favorite scene. I mean, Arya's scene in the beginning was the highlight of the episode. But then we have this long montage of Daenerys showing up back home. She gets back home. She does that thing where she puts her hand in the dirt, like Russell Crowe from Gladiator. Pretty cool. And she gets her hands dirty. She sees the throne. She doesn't sit in the throne. She's like, nope, that's not the throne that I want. I want the other throne. It's like when the Boston Bruins win the Eastern Conference. They don't touch the cup. They don't. That's not the cup that they want. They want the Stanley Cup. They don't touch that weak-ass trophy. They want the Stanley Cup. And that's what Daenerys is going after right now. Lord Stanley's Cup. So there it is, your Game of Thrones update for the week. I am Mike Bissett. You can follow me on Twitter at biz_MikeBiz. I'm there occasionally. And next week, I will see you on the futon.
Life's a biz!
Yes. We got to wrap it up. But,
let's do that.
I do want to ask, since you got to, I mean, how much of Comic-Con do you get to experience as a fan?
Oh, I don't.
Zero.
You know what I mean? Like, it's been, I would imagine,
14 years.
It's been a while since, like, I've experienced it as a fan.
So you said this is the 18th one you've gone to in a row. But like,
actually, no, it's my 18th. I skipped 1 year.
Okay.
So there's this.
If I had to, so maybe not consecutive. Yeah, but so 18. Of those 18, how many times were you press pass instead of guest pass, if that makes any sense?
I've always, every year I've gone. In the beginning, I was going as an exhibitor. I was right. publishing my own magazine. And then I transitioned into just like a professional. I've never gone just to go.
That's like, it's crazy because you're a comic guy.
Yeah.
And so you live in that world.
Yeah.
And like, that would probably be like one of the greatest things to go and do. But you don't get to go do it because you have to work it.
Yeah.
Which is like bittersweet.
And yeah, and then there's a lot of crowd. There's a lot of noise. There's other shows that I go to that, for the most part, I don't experience any of the conventions I go to. I go to at least 7 or 8 a year. But there's some that are a little bit easier for me to handle because they're not as crowded. It's easier to move through them. And, you know, like the thing at Comic-Con at San Diego, it's like, you know what, there's 140,000 people there. It's like there's people who pay really good money to sit in line for 12 hours, 13 right. hours. And I just find that, I find that really interesting. And when I say interesting, I don't mean that in a positive way.
Right.
You know, there was a 5-6 hour line for people waiting to get a ticket to maybe get a free Lego.
Right.
And I'm like, you know what?
A Lego, like a block, a Lego?
Like a minifig or something.
A minifigure, yeah.
Just something.
And it's like, seriously? You know, right. I waited in line. A friend of mine wanted something specific. She asked for it. She's an awesome human being. So I waited in line for about a half hour to get her something. And because I had that half hour to kill.
Right.
And the entire time I was talking to the people in line with me, and they thought I was insane because I was like, well, so what are you waiting in line for? And they were telling me, and I was like, oh, okay. I've never waited in a line at this thing before. This is really ridiculous. Do you feel as stupid as I feel? And then I was like, I told some of the people, I was like, can you hold my spot? Because I need to go to the table to make sure they still have what I want, because I'm not going to wait in this line for half hour to an hour to find out they're sold out.
Right.
And so I walked over to the guy. I was like, hey, do you got this thing? And he was like, yeah, we got plenty. And if he said we only had one, I was going to be like, here's $20 to hold me one. I'm not going to, you right. know, and I could have cut in front of line if I wanted to. And I probably could have pulled the, I could have, do you know who I am?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm a serial killer. But the funny thing is,
John Wayne Gacy right there.
Yeah, I've never done that. I never would do that. But it's, there are moments where it's like, and it hasn't happened at this show, but it's happened at other conventions where it's like, there's a super long line just to get in,
right.
and I've got a panel, and I'm like, you need to let me in right now. And they're like, no, you got to go to the back of the line. I'm like, no, so you don't get it.
Right.
If I don't get to this panel, I'm going to get in trouble with my bosses, and then you're going to get in trouble with your bosses.
Correct.
Because I will make a stink.
Yeah.
And I try not to be a jerk to the security people and all that stuff, because they're just doing their jobs. But a lot of times the communication between these departments is terrible. So. Yeah.
Well, and like you were saying, it's just crazy that it's turned into, like, instead of just walking around and being in, you know, fun cosplay and
yeah.
getting a cool collectible that you can't get anywhere else. And like, it turned from that into like, let's wait 12 hours in line to sit in a room just so I can sit in this room for all day. Cause if I leave, then my spot's gone and then I don't have to wait in line again. And so it's like, I'm just going to sit in Hall H all day. And hopefully they send the cool stuff here.
Funny thing, I'm not going to say
it's like, yeah. Why does it, it should be more fun than that. But I just want to go to walk the floor and find like a cool pop figurine that I don't have yet. Or it's, you know, that's, the panels are cool, but just watch it online the next day. Like,
it was,
I don't know.
It was funny. I was on a panel this week that it was unusually packed in the room. And I was like, wow, this is cool. This is a really packed panel. And our panel was over. And nobody got up and left. And I was like, oh.
You're waiting.
None of you were here for our panel.
Right, right.
You were here for the other one.
Yeah.
And then
thanks for at least being polite.
And then I was like, I wonder what it is. And then I went outside and I looked at the little sign with all the panels. And I was like, well, maybe I'm just being too cynical. Maybe they're just whatever. And then I looked and I was like, oh yeah, this is, they're here for the other one. And I have a friend who was on the next panel, and I was like, okay, I can't be that upset. But it was just sort of like, you know, it's like when the really pretty chick asks, you know, walks up to you and is like, oh hey, I know somebody who likes you, and it's like, who? And it's like, it ain't her, you know. It's like, it's my friend, you know, the one who, you know.
Like, that was a really good. That was a really good panel, Dave. Thanks, but we just want to see the Firefly reunion. So if you could leave, that'd be great. but yeah, anyway, it's just crazy that it's still as popular. But I've seen people that I know that are like diehards that are like, maybe I won't go back next year because it's getting ridiculous.
I talked to two people. One guy has been going. I've gone. This is my 18th time. Right. 18th time in 19 years. I talked to another guy who's gone 24 years in a row. I talked to another guy who's gone 30 something years in a row. We were just sitting talking as we were having really disgusting convention center food.
Right.
And all three of us said, yeah, this might be my last year, you know, and it's, I'm hearing it more and more.
Yeah. Everyone says it's crazy. So. And I just want to go and find a cool figurine. So maybe I'll go next year. Cause I have not been in 10 years and it's just going to be a crazy shit show.
If you haven't been in 10 years, then you stopped going right as it got really
turned into a shit show.
Yeah, went crazy.
Exactly.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, it's only been like 5 or 6 years now that like they didn't used to sell out. Like they
Now it sells out in like 30 seconds.
And then
it's
started selling out, and then it
literally
started selling out
like
stupid,
within a minute,
like really,
a minute or two. Yeah,
yeah,
it's gone
really fast.
Yeah,
so. That's cool.
Well,
so much stuff.
Thanks for being here and chatting for as long as you did.
Thank you, yeah.
And can people find you? Do you want to promo anything? Or?
Yeah, I mean, you can...
follow him on Twitter.
On
he
Twitter.
Tweets.
I tweet. I don't necessarily respond to anything, but I'm David Walker 1201.
If you're an attractive girl, he'll respond.
Yeah, I'm on Facebook.
He hasn't been on a date in over a year.
Yeah.
And when he goes on one, he'll get annoyed if you don't know what he's talking about.
Yeah. I'm on Facebook. I've got a fan page, which is probably the best thing because I'm pretty close to the limit of friends I can accept, and I won't accept something if I don't know you personally.
Truth.
And I'm on Instagram, but that's mostly me posting pictures of flowers. So
perfect.
It's kind of boring
sometimes
for other
bees.
People. Sometimes bees, yeah.
And find your writing Planet of the Apes.
War for the Planet of the Apes.
Is that through Marvel?
That's for Boom okay. Studios. And then Luke Cage for Marvel. And then there's a smaller publisher called Lion Forge. I write a book for them, co-write a book for them called Superb.
Nice.
And then there'll be some new stuff that I'm not allowed to talk about, but that'll be announced soon enough.
Yeah,
Luke Cage
I love
TV
that
show.
Stuff.
No, I'm just kidding. well, thanks again, Dave, for being here. You're always a good chat, especially right around this time of year, because you're so accessible and friendly and nice to do it. So we appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Right on.
But yeah, I think that about wraps it up for this week. This has been Life's a Binge. I'm Jared.
I'm BJ.
And we'll see you on the couch.
Life's a Binge!
Right?
This has been a Life's a Binge production. Please leave us a rating and review on iTunes, Podomatic, and Stitcher. Follow us on all social media at Life's a Binge. Send us an email at lifesabinge@gmail.com. And be sure and check out lifesabinge.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the couch.